this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. If you don't have a home that you call your home of worship, we invite you to make Elohim Christian Church your home of worship. And we greet those who are home or at work or in their cars and they're tuning in via Facebook Live or YouTube. May the Lord bless you. So happy that you're able to join us this way. And we pray that the Lord would bless you, and the same joy and the same blessing that we feel here today, we pray that you are also enjoying it in your place of worship, your home, your car, your work this morning. This morning I want to get into the teaching, and I don't know if the worship team was told what my theme is or not. I'm not 100% sure, but I know that the Lord is speaking to someone this morning, and we're speaking on the theme, Set Free. And as Chris just ministered this morning, especially the first two songs under this theme, I was just so encouraged by the Holy Spirit, because I just kept saying, Lord, I know that you want to speak to someone this morning through this teaching, through the sermon. And our theme this morning is Set Free. I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Or you can open up an app or follow along on the screens. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 9. And our theme this morning is Set Free. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast worked through the whole batch of dough. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I pray that you would open our hearts to sense, our ears to hear, and our eyes to see what you want to speak into our lives this morning. I pray, O Lord, that you would place an anointing upon me for this sermon, this word, for this hour, O God, to bring forth your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Set free. So here in Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and there seems to be an issue here where Judaism is setting back into the church. And within Judaism, it was believed that you needed to be circumcised to be saved, right? So they, here within the church, the Apostle Paul hears of this, and he writes to them and tells them, hey, you've been set free from this thinking. Jesus is enough to bring salvation into your life. You don't need circumcision for salvation. And then he's telling them, if you choose the law, then you got to choose the whole law. And you have alienated Christ. And you have alienated Christ's grace for your life, because Christ's grace for your life lets us know that he is enough for salvation. So there is this teaching, and he's letting them know, well, you were doing good. In verse 7, he says, you were running a good race. Who brought you this teaching? Why did you hear this? We see in verse 1, he says, stand firm. Listen to the teachings that I have shared with you. And he's reminding them that they have been set free from all tradition that is different than what they have been taught. That they have been set free from this. And here the apostle is writing to them to let them know that if you're not careful, you are alienating Christ. And then he reminds them, well, a little yeast will ruin the whole batch. In other words, you can't have it both. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a little bit of that and a little bit of this and think that you're going to be okay. No, you need to choose which side you will be on. He says, whether you're going to do it the way of Judaism or you're going to do it the way of Christ. And he's letting them know, you have been set free from this thinking. Don't go back that way. So with that thought, right, I want to remind us here that God has set us free. God's perfect will for us is that we would enjoy a life of freedom, a life that he has given us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. His will for us is that we would enjoy freedom, the freedom that he has provided for us, that we would not be yoked to anything that would impede our salvation, that we would not be yoked to anything that would impede the work that he has done in our lives. And with sadness, at times, we will allow our old tendencies, our old ways, things that Christ has liberated us from, we will allow them back into our lives thinking that that is good for us. And Christ wants to remind us that he has set us free. And anything that has to do with our pre-Christ ways that are opposite of what Christ has set aside for us, he has set us free from those things. And he wants to remind us that in him, there's complete freedom. And this morning, as we think about this teaching, set free, and we think about this battle that we each and every one of us have, that we could hold on to this truth that Jesus has set us free. And he set us free in a way where all those things that were in our past no longer have to have bondage on us. But Christ's work in our lives has set us free to live a life in freedom in all that Christ has for us. And the church says, thinking of this teaching, I want to share with you three observations. The first one is, only Christ can set us free. Christ has set us free. A clear foundation he has set for us, and there's no other misunderstanding to this. We cannot misunderstand this in any other way. Only Christ has set us free. It's not the church. It's not a preacher that has set us free. It's not religion that has set us free. It's not rituals that has set us free. It's not even our spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting and reading the Bible. Those things don't set us free. We know that those things are important, but they're not what set us free. The only one that has set us free is Jesus. Only Jesus has the power to set the captive free. And Jesus, early in his ministry, he makes this clear. He quotes the prophet Isaiah in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Right from the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he quickly identifies his ministry as one to set the captives free. Even John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Right from the beginning, John the Baptist lets us know who Jesus is, the Son of God, and his mission to take away the sin of the world. This is the longing of Jesus. He is the only one that can liberate humanity and break the strongholds of the enemy and bring freedom to us. His name is Jesus, and there is power in his name. And this is the longing of Jesus. This is his desire. This is his will for humanity and his will for us, to set us free. For that reason, he suffered the cross 2,000 years ago. For that reason, he rose from the tomb. For that reason, he sent his Spirit to help us and lead us in a life of freedom. It is the longing of Jesus that we would live a life of freedom that is found only in Christ. So we rejoice because in Christ we have been set free. We're not chained to our past. We're not chained to our past sin. We're not chained to religion or rituals. We're not a slave to sin. No, Jesus has set us free. From the moment that we entered into a relationship with Christ, the strongholds of the enemy have been released from our lives, and now our master and our savior is Jesus, and he has set us free from all captivity of this world. And I love that the apostle Paul reminds us of this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." This is now for us no condemnation. Why? Because Christ has set us free. From the day you and I gave our hearts to the Lord, that day the enemy's hold over our life was destroyed and his grip began to weaken. God's love for us in Jesus Christ has broken every barrier of sin and every oppression of the enemy. That's why John writes in his epistle, because the one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. We live with this understanding and this belief and this reality that Jesus has set us free. John writes in 1 John chapter 5, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world." Verse 5, "Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." If you believe that Christ is the Son of God, you have overcome the world. And he has set us free from all bondage. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace, because of Jesus." Without a doubt, Jesus has set us free. Without a doubt, we no longer have chains of captivity. We are no longer condemned. We no longer have to deal with guilt. We no longer have to deal with shame. No, our relationship with Christ has produced salvation and has set us free. We've been free from condemnation of sin, no longer condemned to an eternal destruction. No, Jesus has set us free. He has set us free from religiosity, to think that we need to stick to certain rules and we need to do certain things to be saved. No, it's only through Christ where there's salvation. There's no act or work that could earn salvation. It's to recognize that he is our Lord and our Savior. We've been set free from guilt. Our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins have all been forgiven. He has set us free from all guilt. We live second to second, minute to minute, and day to day. So we deal with our struggles and our realities every single moment. But Jesus, he's omniscient. He's sovereign. He's seen them all. He's seen our past failures, our present failures, and our future failures. And his forgiveness has wiped them all away. To understand that would allow us to live a life of freedom, knowing that Christ has set us free. The ministry of Jesus on earth was all about setting the captive free. It was all about helping those that needed liberation. When we look at the story of a demon-possessed man in Matthew chapter 5, this man had been possessed with legions, unclean spirit. They tried to help him because he lived among the tombs, but when they would try to chain him, he'd break the chains, and no one can control him. And Jesus reaches this man. And Jesus liberates this man. In fact, those around him and saw him after the liberation, the Bible says that they were astonished. Why? Because they had never seen a working like this before. This is what Jesus does. He sets the captive free. There's another beautiful story of a man for 38 years paralyzed, captive in his sickness, captive in his situation. And Jesus walks up to him and tells him, "Stand up, take up your mat and walk." And later on, Jesus sees him and says, "Look, you are well now. Go and sin no more. If not, something else will happen to you." Jesus liberated this man from his captivity of 38 years. There was a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, and her touching of the mantle of Jesus healed her and liberated her at that very moment, captive to her sickness, but Jesus set her free. You and I have come to know that Jesus. That Jesus that liberates. From the moment that we have accepted him as our personal Savior, he touched our lives. And we are no longer bound by the enemy's strongholds. He who the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. We could live with this security and this assurance, and that the power of God over our lives can liberate us from anything that the enemy wants to enchain in our lives. And we can live with the freedom that he has done it, he is doing it, and he will continue to do it, because he is sufficient enough for every one of our weaknesses, for every one of our tendencies. He is sufficient enough to liberate us, that we can live the life that he has called us to live, freedom in Christ Jesus. And the church says, we have been set free. And it's only Christ that can set us free. Today, people are looking for individuals, and they follow prophets, and they follow certain ministries or churches or things, looking for certain things. But it's our relationship with Christ, our sensitivity to his spirit in our life, that draws us to a place to understand that he is sufficient for us, not just to save us, but to break every chain that wants to have us bound. In Christ, we are set free. And let us live with that assurance and that security. And the church says, so our second observation this morning, and the first one is we're set free because of Christ, right? Our second observation is then, I want to title it, Stand Firm Then. Then we should stand firm. I love that the Apostle Paul writes in his first verse, he writes there, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What was happening here? Well, the Apostle Paul was letting them know, stand firm on the teachings that you have received. Believe God for this. In fact, in verse 7, he says, you were running a good race. In other words, he says, you were doing good. He says, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? He's telling, who changed your mind? Who convinced you of something different? Christ had set you free from this tradition, from this sense of needing to do something else for salvation, he tells them. He says, stand firm then on what you have been taught. Hold on to what you have learned, is what he's telling them. If you believe that you need circumcision, he says, for salvation, then you don't need Jesus. This is the opposite of what you have been taught. Today, I want to remind you that we must hold on to what we have learned. Sometimes we forget what the gospel teaches us, and we find ourselves again in chains that we have been set free from. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened again. Stand firm. And do not let yourself be burdened again. If you are not careful, if I am not careful, we can find ourselves again, once again, yoked with things that we were one time set free from. We could find ourselves again yoked to the very things that we came to Christ for, knowing that we needed liberation, knowing that we needed help. And he liberated us from them. And if we're not careful, we could find ourselves in those places again. There is a tendency in each and every one of us to look back. The sinful nature every so often arises within us. The old man wants to have life again, and we have this tendency to look back to who we were or what we did, or to give in to our frailties or to our weaknesses. It is a tendency that we deal with because of the sinful nature that lives within us. But look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. He said, no one who puts his hand on the plow, the word there, it means worthy, is worthy of the kingdom of God. He's saying those who have been put in this new life, if they continue to look back to who we were and how we lived and to desire some of those things, Jesus says that then they're not worthy. Why? Because they don't appreciate the new life that they have been given. There's a tendency within us to want to look back, but Christ reminds us today that he's given us this new life, and what is before us is absolutely better than what was behind us. What is before us will bring us joy and God's will to our lives. What is behind us only satisfied the sinful nature and brought destruction and separation and chaos to our lives. So he says, once you have come to understand that you have been set free from those things and you have given this new life in Christ, if you continue to look back, there is a sense of not appreciating the work that Christ has done within us. It's a reminder to us that although there are tendencies to look back, but the work of Christ is enough to look forward and enjoy the new things that God has for us. You remember the story of Lot's wife? When they brought her outside, the angel tells her, escape for your life. Do not look behind you. Do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountain, or you will be swept away. But the wife, from behind him, looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Her love for Sodom and Gomorrah cost her her life. Her love for the city of fame and sin and finances, her tendency towards this lost world took her life. Remember, Paul tells us the same thing in Philippians chapter 3. He says, forget what lies behind you and reach forward to what lies ahead. He tells us, press to the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a tendency within each and every one of us at times to look back, but we are reminded that what God has for us is absolutely better. And the church says, we have been set free. There is a great story in the scriptures the whole story is hard to tell at this moment, but you remember the story of Joseph. At the end of his life, he is serving the Pharaoh in Egypt. He is reconciled to his brothers. He's reconciled to his father. The story of Joseph. Pharaoh tells Joseph, go get your father and go get your family. Bring them back here. There'll be a place for them. And look what Pharaoh tells Jacob, sends this message to Jacob. He actually sent it to Jacob, the father of Joseph. Do not concern yourself with your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. In other words, Pharaoh tells Joseph to tell Jacob, his father, don't worry about what you have. Leave that behind, because what is before you is much better than what you had before. It's a reminder to us. It's a reminder to us that we have been set free. And although there is tendencies to look back, what God has for us is better. Let us not be blinded to this. Once, who we once were, how we once lived. If we're not careful, though, we could end up there again. We all have tendencies of the old man, but we know that Christ has set us free, and he who Christ sets free is free indeed. And the church says, whatever your battle may be, we all have them. We all have battles. We all have to hold on to the saving, transforming work of Christ, knowing that without it, we will all be lost and we will all be who we used to be. It is the transforming work of Christ in our lives that helps us. So today I want to encourage you to stand firm on what you have been taught. Stand firm on what the Bible has taught us. Jesus has set us free. Stand firm on that teaching. We stand firm here today and we say we will not be who we were before Christ in our lives. It is not who we are today that will make, it's not who we were yesterday that will make a difference. It's who we are today that will make the difference. For that reason, no more lying. right? No more drunkenness, no more manipulation, no more racism, no more sexual immorality, no more religiosity. We need to understand that God has set us free from all those things. And although at times there are tendencies before us that we want to look back, we've been taught that what God has for us today is better than what he had for what we lived in the past. So we may be struggling here today, but it's the transforming work of Christ that has brought those changes, that has broke those chains. And because of that, you and I are not who we used to be anymore. But we are saved and sanctified. We are Holy Ghost filled. We are children of God, and we have been set free. And the church says. So we're talking about being set free. We're reminded that only Jesus can set us free. Only Jesus can set us free. We're also reminded to stand firm. Hold on to the teachings that we have in Christ, because there are natural tendencies within us to give life to the old man, to empower the sinful nature. But we are reminded that what God has for us today and tomorrow is better than any life that we may have lived before Christ. And our last observation this morning is complete freedom is important. Complete freedom. Not a little bit here and a little bit there. Not half in and half out. Verse 9 says, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. A little yeast will ruin the whole batch. We have learned that a little wrong is enough to make it all wrong. And the church says, just a little of who God has freed us from, if we allow it back in our life, can ruin what God wants to do now in our lives. Let us hold on to this truth that Jesus has set us free. He hasn't set us 50% free or 75% free. No, Jesus has set us completely free, and we will not look back. Today we see some that make excuses. And they think it's okay to say things like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. That's a small mistake. Or they rationalize bad choices. And they say, it is because, you know, the circumstance, I needed to do this. Or they justify certain teachings. And they'll say, well, you know, the Bible is not clear on this. And they find themselves, again, feeding into things that they know are not good for them, contrary to Scripture. Jesus has set us completely free, and we must stand firm. Some will use things like, well, no one is perfect. Others will say, well, they just started. Everyone is doing it now. And there's this sense of tolerance that is allowed within the church and relevancy that the church must be like. I would ask the question today, is the church changing the world or is the world changing the church? That we would be reminded that God has called us for complete freedom. That a little bit of yeast will ruin the whole batch. That we would be reminded that God has set us completely free, and we're not to dabble or we're not to share a little or partake partially in things that we know that God has called us from. For just a little is enough to creep into every aspect of who we are. Just a little sin and a little bit of the enemy's way in our life will destroy our home, our family, our children, our ministries, the way that we live. Just a little yeast will ruin the whole batch. And God has called us into a life of complete freedom in him. So let us let go of the things that Jesus has set us free from. And let us not look back. But let us stand firm. Let us let go of all tradition that impedes the moving of God. Let us let go of all tradition that impedes the grace of God and the mercy of God. Let us let go of the sin that so easily entangles and the sin that so easily entraps us. Let us let go of the mindset that says we're better than others or more worthy than others or more holier than others. Let us let go of the things that God has set us free from. He has set us free. Christ's work on the cross, his resurrection, him sending the Spirit is enough to remind us that he has set us free. If we hold on a little to the things that God wants to free us from, it will affect us completely. If we hold on to guilt, it will not allow us to believe God for the next in our lives. If we hold on to traditions, they will have no value. It doesn't allow us to enjoy the new things that God wants to do in us and through us. If we hold on to sinful habits, we cannot enjoy the freedom that God has given us. So today, as I close our teaching this morning, we are reminded that we have been set free. And the church says, we've been set free. Only Jesus can set us free. Not the church, not a song, not a spiritual discipline. Only Jesus can break the chains of the enemy. Only Jesus can set us free. Whatever he binds is bound. We are reminded that only Jesus can set us free. We're also reminded to stand firm on the teachings that we have received. There are tendencies within us to look back, but he who puts his hands on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. There are tendencies within us to look back, to empower the old man, the pre-Christ person. There are tendencies within us to look back, but we stand firm, understanding that Jesus has set us free. And not only has he set us free, but he wants us to live a life of complete freedom. Today in age, we see at times the church of Christ, the general church of Christ, who has allowed the world to become a part of the church. And we think that it's okay, and we're half in and half out, and there's a resemblance of the world in the church. Well, it ruins the whole batch. A little bit of yeast ruins the whole batch. It happens in our own lives. If we think that it's okay to let in a little wrong, it will ruin our whole lives. It will ruin the very work that God wants to do in our lives. There must be a stance for what is holy, for what is righteous, for what is separated. There must be a stance on behalf of the church. So let us guard ourselves from what we allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear and what we allow our hands to invest in. Let us guard ourselves to know that God is calling us for something else. And I remind you that if you hold on to complete freedom, whatever is before us and whatever is for our future is much better than what was in our past. So we hold on to this truth that Jesus has set us free. And the church says, amen. I want to invite you to stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we bring closure to our teaching this morning, when the Israelites were in captivity, the Bible says that God heard their cry. When the Israelites were in captivity, in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord speaks to Moses from a burning bush, and he tells them this: I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God had seen that the Israelites were in captivity. They were bound for 400 years. And he said, I heard their cry. The word there, heard, it's an emotional attachment. In the original language, that I've sensed what they're going through. And I'm determined to set them free. And in Exodus chapter 3, he sends Moses and Aaron to liberate the Israelites. But today, he has sent Jesus to liberate those in captive. But his heart for those who are in captivity is the same. He says, I've heard their cry. I've sensed their need for freedom, to be set free. and I've sent my only begotten Son to set them free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So perhaps there's someone here today that you feel like, man, I'm struggling in my walk. I know that Christ has come into my life to save me, but I find myself leaning towards my tendencies. I put my hand on the plow, but I find myself looking back all the time. I've empowered the old man in my life. And the Lord is speaking to me and reminding me that He has set me free. I don't have to look back. What He has for me today and tomorrow is better than anything I had in the past. And He doesn't want me to live a little in and a little out, because I've been reminded that a little bit of yeast will ruin the whole batch. Just a little bit of wrong that resides within me will penetrate to every aspect of my life. And I'm reminded today that I don't want to be who I used to be. I want to be who God has set me free to be. I want to be who God has ordained for me to be. The one that He paid the price for on the cross to set me free so that I could live the life that He's called me to live. He's broken every chain that the enemy had over our lives, and we never want to yoke ourselves again to those very things that He set us free from. So today I remind you, He has set you free. Jesus, stand firm in this teaching and live in complete freedom, because what He has for you today and tomorrow is much better than what you lived in yesterday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The worship team is going to lead us in a song in a moment. Perhaps you would like prayer. If you would like prayer, the altar is open today. We want to pray with you. Our pastors and leaders may join you in prayer. If you would like prayer as our worship team sings, you can come forward. If you see that there's somebody there, I'm going to ask that you give them a little bit of space, and our pastors and leaders will pray from behind you, and we will pray for you, and the Lord will lead you and help you and embrace the teaching today to help apply God's word to our lives. Father, we thank You for the teaching of Your word, that we would be reminded, O Lord, that it is for freedom that You have set us free. Help us, O Lord, to embrace the teaching of Your word. Allow it to resonate within us and draw us closer to Your perfect will for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.